Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulil karim, amma ba'd. Fa'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullaha wa kunu ma'as sadiqin. Sadaqallahu al-aliyyul azim. Inshallah, today we will just discuss two points. One is the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which the time is coming very very close of Qurbani. So Hazratani rahmatullahi alayhi has mentioned that the action of Qurbani, it takes place in Idul Adha, the only time of the year when a person can make Qurbani. Any time throughout the year, your person cuts the animal, except Qurbani. He'll be cutting it for meat, for some benefit he can take, but he won't be regarded as an ibadat, as his Qurbani. Only in these 3 days, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made compulsory Qurbani. And where did this Qurbani started? It started from the time of Adam alayhi salam. Allah ta'ala says in the Quran that sacrificing animals has been ordained on every ummah, so that the name of Allah Ta'ala is mentioned on these particular animals, which Allah has given us as a favor. So every zamana, every time, there was a different Qurbani. The first Qurbani was the son of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, Habil and Qabil. In that time of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, 2 children used to be born in the morning, 2 in the evening. One boy, one girl. There was no one else on the earth, surface of the earth. And in the shariat of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, it was permissible for a boy to get married to his sister. Those who were born in the morning, the boy, he would get married to the girl who was born in the afternoon, and the boy who was married born in the afternoon would get married to the girl who was born in the morning. But when Habil and Qabil, they were born, they had sisters also. So Habil's sister wasn't as beautiful as Qabil's, and Habil supposed to get married to Qabil. So Qabil became jealous, and this is the fitna of the time also, jealousy. Jealousy comes normally. You see, the first guna and sin which took place in the skies was Iblis, Shaitan. He was jealous. That, why did Adam alayhi salam get superiority over me? And the first sin which took place on the surface of the earth was also jealousy. Where Habil and Qabil became jealous over his brother Habil. So it shows jealousy, what a harmful sickness it is, how it destroys a person. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that beware of jealousy, because jealousy eats up a person's amal and good actions. It's like how wood, fire eats up wood. Completely destroys it. So jealousy is such a thing. And jealousy normally, it comes into a person, there is no harm. A person feels jealous automatically. Allah has created this quality within a person. Because if a person didn't feel, have this quality of jealousy, he would not improve. He wouldn't get better. You see someone else, you see this person got more than me, so I must better myself. So this is why Allah has created it. But now when it leads a person to hatred and to dislike for that person, so much so Hazrat Amir rahmatullah has mentioned, he says that if a person, his Muslim brother, some harm comes to him, and happiness comes in the heart of a person, you get happy, yeah, good, it happened to him. But you don't say anything, and you never purposely intend or whatever, and you never cause harm to the person, but there's just the thought of happiness comes in your heart at that time. You see, ye kamal ki baat nahi. This person is not kamil, he has not reached a level of perfection. You see, for this, you see, he's no guna, he's no sin. Because it is ghair ikhtiyari, not within your choice. You never purposely intended to, that person must lose that thing. But the thought naturally comes in a person's heart, you feel that happiness. He said, but after that, make a lot of tawbah and istighfar. Ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. Because why did I get this evil thought in my heart? So this quality of jealousy, and normally it starts off very, very small. But as a person, he keeps this jealousy within his heart. It gets worse and worse and worse. Eventually it leads towards malice, hatred. And the person will even do amazing, amazing things. Murder another person. Put jadu and black magic on another person. What and what things a person will do. Just because of jealousy. And whereas it can be an alim also, it can be who and who. The person who made Mufti Jadu and Mufti Mahmud Sahib rahmatullah alayh was one of the senior ustad in the madrasa. Because why? Mufti Sahib Allah Ta'ala had given him that maqam and status, and he got to teach Bukhari Sharif. So this Mulana, because he wanted to teach Bukhari Sharif, he expected it to come to him. So he's a big alim also. But he didn't get it. So that's how shaitan works with a person. So eventually he made Jadu and Mufti Mahmud Sahib rahmatullah alayh. So how it destroys a person, may Allah protect and save all of us. So the first sin was that jealousy. So Allah Ta'ala sent the first line, the decision down, that we will have a test in Tihan to see who will pass. But you must give one sacrifice. Sacrifice one animal. If qarraba qurbanan, fatuqubbila min ahadima walam yutaqabbal min al-akhar. Allah Ta'ala said they both put the sacrifice forward. Qabil, he never had the jazbah, the desire within himself. I must put something. So he took some wheat of his, which was of very inferior quality, and he put it forward. And Habil, the best ram which he had, he put it before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm sacrificing for my Allah. I'm giving the best for my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala said, we accepted from one of them, we never accept from the other one. He never have the jazbah and the correct desire within his heart to sacrifice for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We must judge ourselves, like myself firstly, our qurbani also. We are always pondering that how much money it is, and we haven't got the jazba, but now it's a force, it's wajib, we have to do it. So we just have to make one animal. 50 rand, we get 150 rand in overseas. So we just cut the animal there, at least shukr, our qurbani is done, we are happy with it. No, Allah Ta'ala wants to see the jazba. Innama yataqabbalu Allahu min al-muttaqin. Allah only accepts from those who got that quality, the jazba, the taqwa in them, that I want to please my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And wherever in the Quran Allah mentions about qurbani, he says about muttaqin. لَيَنَالُ اللَّهَ لُحُمُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا وَلَكِي يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. The taqwa, the jazba, the desire within yourself to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is watching the day. That's what Allah wants to see from a person. How happy he is to sacrifice. And the ulama have mentioned a very amazing point. They say actually, if you look at the whole year's ibadat, Wazir mentions it over and over, then the salah comes in Rajab, and then Shaaban, a person purifies himself, and then a month of Ramadan is where a person, now he's keeping roza, he's getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Last 10 days he comes in the masjid for i'tikaf, and as soon as i'tikaf finishes, hajj starts, and now the whole hajj takes place where a person is going to meet his beloved. So what is the action of qurbani now? The action of qurbani is when a person has gone to meet his beloved, he is prepared to sacrifice his life, that Allah, I'm giving you my life. But Allah Ta'ala says, my banda, don't give me your life, I want you still to go and do khidmat of deen, go back home, build up your connection with me, but never mind, in place of your life, give me one animal. And Hazrat Ali Rahmatullah Ali mentions one story of one person. He, when he went to Mina, he said, Ya Allah, I've got nothing, I've got no animal to sacrifice, please take my life. He lay down and he passed away. So these are those walis of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But anyhow, we're sacrificing an animal. And it is for this reason that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Hajjatul Wada, he sacrificed 100 camels. 100 camels is equal to the life of a person, a human being. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sacrificed 100 camels, 63 himself, because his life was 63 years old. And 27 Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu sacrificed. So actually he's saying, I'm giving my life to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the blood money of a person is 100 camels. So that is what we are giving when we are sacrificing that animal. It's not just I'm sacrificing one animal, but Allah, in place of my life, which you're supposed to take, that I'm giving this animal here. So when a person is now sacrificing, now he must think, how am I sacrificing? How will I like to give for myself in place? I'm giving to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what am I giving in place? So a person must look for the best animals. Ya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَكُمْ فِيهَا خَيْرٍ. For you there is goodness in the animals. According to the Quran Sharif, there are both worldly as well as dini benefits in the ibadah of qurbani. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has declared the sacrificing of animals as a salient feature of Islam. In addition to the thawab in the year after, we derive the benefit of consuming their flesh and making use of their skins. This is Allah Ta'ala's great fadl and kindness in the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because Allah wanted to keep our izzat and our respect. So in the past ummah, in Habil and Qabil, the fire came down from Jannah, and everybody saw Habil's qurbani was accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fire took it up, it was taken into the heavens, the animal grazed there, and until the time of Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he had to sacrifice his son, then the same ram was sent down of Adam alayhi salam, and Ibrahim alayhi salam sacrificed that animal was sacrificed. Bidhabihin azim, it was a very, very great sacrifice. But in the past ummah, there's one speciality of the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah made it halal for us. And one of the reasons for it is Allah wanted to save our izzat and our honor. Now imagine we go on the qurbani field and everybody is sacrificing their animals, and now we see that the fire came, it took that person, then ours is still there. How embarrassed we'll feel. So protect our izzat and our honor. Allah Ta'ala said, no, everybody's animals, leave it in the world, it will be used. You can eat the animal, you can take benefit of that animal. Mufti Taqi Usmani Sahib Dawan Barakatu mentioned very beautifully, he says, in the past, the kings of the time, and a person would bring a hadiah to them. So they were very, very wealthy, and the kings were, the people were poor people. They will come with a hadiah. So the king will take his hand and pass it over the animal, over the hadiah. And he says, Jazakallah, I appreciate it, yeah, take it back. And he'll give him more presents also. So these animals we are sacrificing for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as if to say, Allah Ta'ala is saying, I've accepted your animal. Before your blood touches the ground, it's accepted. Take it back now. And my banas, you use it. I got no need for it, but I've accepted your sacrifice. You are prepared to take that blood out, to put that money forward. Never mind, take the meat, take the bones, take the skin, everything, and use that animals. So this is Allah Ta'ala's kindness upon us. That is why this is the mehman nawazi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The 3 days after qurbani is haram to even keep roza. Because that meat, Allah is giving it back to you. It's my meat. It's supposed to go to Jannat. But Allah says, never mind, the food of Jannat I'm giving it to you. Take it. So we are eating that food. That is why to eat from that food is a lot of barakat and blessings. So much so, Hakim from Hackpot, he used to have like very strict diets. But if some people, he stopped them from eating meat, but qurbani meat, he said, no, you can eat that meat. This is from Allah Ta'ala's side. This is mehmani from Allah is giving you a dawat in this world, that eat this meat. So he used to even allow a person to eat that meat. So this, there's so much of benefit. This is in this dunya. And in the akhirat also, Allah Ta'ala will give a person. Although sheep and goats are also animals for sacrifice, the Quran specifically states that the sacrifice of camels and oxen is a saline feature of deen. Therefore, a person will get greater reward in sacrificing a camel and oxen. Because cows, bulls, etc., a person will get much more, a greater reward. They say here, a very amazing point here. The meaning of sincerity in Qurbani is to make sacrifice purely for the sake of Allah Ta'ala and to obtain thawab. The intention must not be to eat meat. Although it is natural that the flesh of the animal will be eaten, the intention of the Qurbani should never be this. If the intention is for consumption of meat, Hazrat Ali Rahmatullahi says, the Qurbani will not be valid. The intention is wrong. Because Allah Ta'ala says, فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ, that perform namaz for Allah and sacrifice your animals. So here, the command of Salat and Qurbani are given to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and Qurbani is coming next to Salat, and a command directly to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, not for the Ummat. It shows that it's an obligatory duty for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to discharge, and how much of emphasis Allah Ta'ala has placed on this ibadah. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha says that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that during the days of Qurbani, there is no deed of man more beloved by Allah Ta'ala than sacrificing of animals. On the day of Qiyamah, the sacrificed animal will come with its horns, hair and hooves. The sacrificed animal is accepted by Allah Ta'ala before the blood reaches the ground. Therefore, render the Qurbani wholeheartedly and happily. So the full reward a person will get in the year after. And the greatest sacrifice of these days is the action of Qurbani. And there are two things Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, فَطِيبُ بِهَا نَفْسَ. طِيبُ بِهَا نَفْسَ means wholeheartedly a person must sacrifice. Here, O Buzruks mentioned, one is happily with the heart, and one is happily with the nafs. There's a difference of the two. Sometimes a person is happy with his heart, but he's not happy with his nafs. The nafs likes immediate enjoyment. For example, you go to the hospital for an operation. Now, does the person enjoy your operation? But the heart is happy, because he says, I'll get some benefit, I'll come out of my sickness. But the nafs is not happy. The nafs is not happy. In the hadith, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi mentioned about money, he said a person's money is not halal until he gives it bitibi nafsin. لا يحل مال امرئ مسلم إلا بطيبي نفسه منه. He must give it with the happiness of the heart, of his soul, not the heart. But we say wholeheartedly, it means with his soul. So as the example they give, Buzruks mentioned, for example, a person is married to his wife. So in India, they have this custom that they don't pay mehr straight away. They keep the mehr for many years. They put high mehr, and then before the husband dies, he tells his wife, you make me maaf for the mehr. Now the husband is dying, the wife can't say, no, I don't make you maaf. So obviously she'll say, gee, I make you maaf. And everybody else, the whole family is there. So now, in the heart she has to be happy, because everyone will say, what kind of woman are you? But in her nafs, she's not happy, she wanted to get that money. Oh, there's inheritance taking place. And now the brothers tell the sister, you know what, we'll give you a share, we'll pay you so much money. So now everybody's looking at her, she's feeling embarrassed. So to make everyone happy also, she's not happy wholeheartedly with the nafs, she's not happy. But the heart, because later on my brothers will tell me such a thing, and I'll have so much of problems in the family. Never mind to solve the problems in the family, just let it go. Or the husband tells his wife, you know what, make your meher maaf. فَإِنْتِبْنَ لَكُمْ عَنْ شَيْءٍ مِنُ نَفْسًا. Allah Ta'ala says also in the Quran, تِبْنَ نَفْسًا. She must be happily, wholeheartedly, she must give it from her own nafs. That means you must give her the money, and she from her own side say, I give it to you. Otherwise that money is not halal. Is that permissible for the brothers to even take that money, that inheritance money? No, the ulama say, what you must do, give all the shares to every single person. The sister must get her share also. After that, if she comes from her own side and says, you know what, let me give you this here as a hadiah, take it. No sister will ever come into that there. It shows she wasn't happy. But just to keep the happiness in the family, what my brothers will say, and I'm the sister, never mind, I'll overlook it. See, when you say never mind, I'm overlooking it, it shows you're not happy. You're happy in your heart to save the situation, but in your nafs you're not happy at all. Or for example, a husband, the first day he gets married, he tells the wife that you make me maaf the mehr. So she thinks, now my whole life I'm going to live with this man. If I don't make him maaf, he'll make my life a misery. So she gives it. So that money is not halal. That money is because the heart is happy, but the nafs is not happy. It is a very fine point Hazrat Ami Rahmatullah has mentioned. Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah has mentioned this point, and Imam Hazrat Ami Rahmatullah mentioned it also. That is tibay nafs. So similarly, a person goes for collection, and he asks a person, can you give me some money for the madrasa? So the person gives him 500. He says, but you know, your neighbor, he gives so much. And now the mutawalli is sitting next to him also. So he feels embarrassed, you know what, this person is sitting next to him, so let me give another 500 then. Not happiness from himself, But now just to save the situation, he's giving that money. That money is not halal for a person. It's not permissible for a person to take that money, to accept that money also. And for the person who is giving it, he's forced to give it. So that money is not halal for the other person. So it's a very, very important thing. So in Qurbani, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used the same word here. فَطِيبُ بِهَا نَفْسًا. We must wholeheartedly give it. Not now we have to do it with a Qurbani, with an animal. I have to. But with the happiness of the soul, of the nafs, a person must be giving it, that I'm getting so much of benefit. Like when you're buying an investment somewhere, and you know I'm getting so much of return, so much of benefit I'm getting. So now how happily you give that thing. You not, nobody feels sad that he bought a timeshare, or he bought a flat, and now he's getting 25% returns. He's giving 100,000 rand, and every month he's getting 25% returns, or every year. He doesn't feel sad about it, I'm giving 100,000 rand. He's happy to give it. He said, please take another one, and another two shares like that I'll buy. So Qurbani also, we must give it in that way. May Allah give myself firstly this, the jazba and the correct feeling of Qurbani. Not just we are doing it, it's an act of ibadat. And our Hazrat always mentions, it is not a charity also. Many people feel Qurbani is a charity, send the money overseas. No, it's an ibadat which you yourself have to do. And you must be present there at least. If you cannot cut yourself, like the women folk, sometimes they are soft hearted. The Khawna Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha, that, oh Fatima, get up and be present at your Qurbani. All your sins are forgiven at the first drop of the blood reaches the earth. Remember, on the day of Qiyamah, its flesh and blood will be brought, and after increasing it by 70 times, it will be placed in your scale of good deeds. Abu Sa'id radiallahu anhu was Sahabi, he was sitting there, he asked, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is this reward specially for the family of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Definitely they deserve such a great reward. Or is it for all the Muslims? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it's for the family of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well as for the Muslims in general. Everyone will get the reward of it. So a person must spend. And the second point here, which Hazrat Ani rahmatullahi mentioned also, that fatibu biha nafsan, with the happiness of the heart, Muslims should offer the sacrifice with love and with the true spirit of Qurbani. They should not bicker unnecessarily about the price being asked and about the money being spent in obtaining an animal for sacrifice. Qurbani is a great sacrifice and should not be spoilt by displaying a poor and miserly attitude. A person should not show he's the miser in this year, but he should spend wholeheartedly for this year. If a person Allah has given him wealth, spend nicely. And if a person hasn't got so much of wealth, whatever to his Allah is watching that sacrifice of that person. It is how much of sacrifice he is making. So much so it comes in certain hadith, a person, he spends 100,000 rand in the path of Allah Ta'ala, and another person spends 1 rand in the path of Allah Ta'ala. But the one who spends 1 rand gets much more thawab than the person who spends 100,000 rand. And the reason for that is that the one person had 1 million rand. He spent 100,000 rand in the path of Allah, is 1/10 only. The other person only had 2 rand. He spent 50% of his money. So Allah is looking at the jazba, the desire in his heart to spend that money. He spent 50% of his money. His reward is far, far greater. So don't look at how much money we got or whatever. But Allah is looking at the jazba, the desire which we are prepared to sacrifice. Even if we can only give one animal. But the person should try to spend. Then another point Hazrat Ami rahmatullahi alayhi mentions here is, Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu sacrificed 2 sheep. When asked about the sacrifice, he said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded him to render these sacrifices. One sheep was for himself and the other was sacrificed on behalf of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has great rights over the ummah. It is not possible for us to fulfill these rights. A qurbani offered every year by a believer on behalf of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in fact nothing great and no sacrifice. We should not allow this wonderful opportunity to slip by without having been taken advantage of this great act of ibadah, by means of which great reward can be obtained. Those who have the means, they should not be miserly and neglectful. Abu Talha radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sacrificed one sheep for himself and one sheep on behalf of the ummah. In this regard, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the qurbani is for the one in my ummah who believes in me and who acknowledges me. So the sacrifice on behalf of the ummah demonstrates the love which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had for the ummah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remembered us in his act of sacrifice. It is indeed regretful that members of the ummah, in spite of having the means, will forget to offer qurbani on behalf of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the meaning of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam having made a qurbani on behalf of the ummah is that he included the ummah in the sawab of the sacrifice. It does not mean that one sheep can be sacrificed in the names of more than one person. A sheep and goat can only be sacrificed for one person, and a cow and camel for seven people. But the day after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said the thawab must go to the whole ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But for ourselves, we should try as far as possible to at least one animal we sacrifice on behalf of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And every year we should try to do so. Then besides that, and those who have passed away, and we should be very, very particular. Hazrat mentioned that one story when he went for Hajj, and that one person he was selling the camels, You see, they were selling camels, and the one bus came, this beautiful camels the person had. So Hajj time, everyone wants to buy. Before Muassasa came about, before that time. So anyhow, the person, the whole bus, they all bought their camels. And the bus was going away, one person had to go toilet. So he was still in the toilet, and another bus came. And the people are selling camels. So they sold camels again to the next bus. So now 15, 20, 30 buses will come, and they'll be selling the same camels to all to the same people. So a person's qurbani won't even take place. So in these matters we should be very, very careful. Rather do our own qurbani with our own hands. The person is doing it, inshallah, there is no doubt about it. He's giving his animal for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If nafal qurbani is a person wants to do overseas, no problem, send it. But your faraz qurbani, your wajib qurbani, which you are doing it, make sure you do it yourself. And in your own, with your own hands. So inshallah, there is no doubt at all for a person. He knows he has fulfilled this wajib action of his. And I spoke to somebody the other day, he was telling me, even in South Africa today, a lot of places where people are charging very, very small prices, 150 rand, 100 rand, 700 rand for a sheep. He say, for example, once they were selling in Jordan, they say 1,200 rand, 1,300 rand for a cow. So anyhow, he was in Jamaat there. He went in the place in Jamaat. And the whole of Jordan, the whole time, it was Qurbani time. So they thought they'll take that money, 1,200, and they'll get the animal there. Wherever they looked, eventually one person told them, you know, because you are Jamaat, I'll give it to you all cheap, 1,800 rand. He said this was the cheapest they could get it, and here they're selling it for 1,200. So you see where the people are, unless there's some other some farm or something that these people know in those areas. Many other people have gone, for example, to other countries also, and they went to check up the prices of the meat they were advertised in some places. I'm not saying everyone is a fake. There are many general people, mashallah, who are doing it, but there are many fakes also, and they fleece the money of the ummah, and the ummah, this person is spending and giving. And so many times he is taken for a ride. So we should be very, very particular about this. On our side, we should try our hardest. We spend the money in the power of Allah Ta'ala happily, wholeheartedly, a person must give it. And obviously, if any person is sitting here, who himself is selling qurbani animals, he mustn't now cheat the people and take, oh, this, what a nice bayan for me this is. So I must take a ride for the people for a ride. No, a person who is doing the actions, he must make khidmat for the people. Try to lower the prices so more people can make qurbani. It becomes easier to make qurbani. And those who are spending the money, they should be on the other side. How can I fulfill the action of qurbani? But no fighting, bickering. Sometimes you fight and fight so much, it comes in certain hadith also that you're fighting over a business transaction. There is no barakat left in there eventually. You'll get that goods cheaper, 5 rand, 10 rand, 15 rand cheaper. But Allah has not kept any blessings in there. On the other hand, you pay the full price for it. That person was happy, you were happy. Now there's barakat in that. And the barakat is now 20 years, 30 years, it lasts. It's giving you benefit, service. And the other one, you bought it after 1 year, 2 years, you paid 5 rand less, but the thing is destroyed. Allah hasn't placed blessings in there. So always a person must be particular about this. May Allah Ta'ala grant me to grant all of us tawfiq, inshallah. In the khanqah, two special things are spoken about generally, and one is islah nafs. The person has to purify his nafs from all sicknesses, all spiritual diseases. This is one main effort of the khanqah. And the second main effort is to create the muhabbat and love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a person's heart. Allah ta'ala says in the Quran, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ. Those who have got iman, their love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is intense. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu used to say that to have shadeed love for your wife, your parents, your wealth, your own life also, to have shadeed love for them, there is no harm in that day. But you must have ashad love, excessive love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means 51% of the love must be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and 49% can be for other people. And the more higher a person goes, the more love for Allah ta'ala will definitely increase. And the dua of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, many duas he made. One dua was, Allahumma ij'al hubbaka ahabba ilayna min anfusina wa ahlina wa min al-ma'il barid. Oh Allah Ta'ala, make your love more beloved to us than our own lives. Wa min ahlina, and our family members. Wa min al-ma'il barid, and cold water. Lovely cold water. When a person is going through great difficulties, how he loves that cold water. Firstly, our own lives. Allah has got a greater right upon us than ourselves. That is why a person in jihad must be prepared to sacrifice his life. Because you say, my life is not so important. The command of Allah Ta'ala is higher. So a person must be prepared to sacrifice his life. So the love of Allah Ta'ala, only a person will fight in jihad and stand there. And the love for Allah Ta'ala is more than his own life also. Because I'm prepared to sacrifice my life. So how much of jazbah a person must have? So you are making this dua that, oh Allah, make my life, make your love more beloved to me than my own life. And then my own family members. Normally a person loves himself a lot. And sometimes when he gets, especially children, a mother a lot of times will sacrifice her life for her own child also, or because of that love which Allah has created. So here you're saying that, oh Allah, make your love more beloved than my family members also. And in al-ma'il barid, to survive in this world, a person needs water. And cold water, Hajim Dadullah, Muhajir Makki rahmatullah alayhi, Tul Hazrat Dami rahmatullah alayhi, Mia Ashraf Ali, thanda pani piyo. Sometimes drink cold water on an extremely hot day. Drink that cold water. That water will go down into a person's throat, and it will go through every vein and fiber of the body. And then alhamdulillah which comes out from there, see, that it will come out with real ikhlas and sincerity, how much enjoyment a person gets when a person drinks cold water, cool water. So to get this love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is something of great importance. And ulama say that why should we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? There are five reasons. Whoever you love in this world, there are five reasons you love that person. Either one of five things. Either it is mal, it is kamal, it is jamal, it is nawal, or it is ta'alluq. One of these five reasons a person loves somebody else. Mal, money. A person is ugly looking. He's got no features, but he's got a lot of money. How people run after him. They go crazy for him. They'll do what and what. Stupid things. They'll lose their izzat and respect also, but because he got money. He's a famous person. Mal. Kamal. A person has got some perfections in him. And something of goodness. Like example, in the time of Harun al-Rashid, one person came to him, and this person, he took a needle, and he had some rope or whatever, and he managed to take, or some rope he took, and he managed to throw it, he had some needles in the hole, in the needle he has a hole, he managed to throw it right through, it goes right through, like how much of sacrifice he must have made. So Harun al-Rashid told the courtiers, you know what, this man is expecting some goodness from us, so give him some money, and also give him 50 lashes. Because he's wasting the time of the ummah, he's wasting his own time. What a stupid thing, he's wasting his time. But he's got hope in me, I'm giving him something. So today also, we find all this kamal and perfection in a person hitting a cricket ball, a person kicking one soccer ball. Kamal, this person scored a goal. What benefit is for the whole ummah? Even a non-Muslim person doesn't benefit. One person scored one goal, and one person hit a cricket bat, hit the ball. And Hazrat Sheikh Rahmatullah is Khalifa Murana Mutara in England. Is his name Murana? Yusuf Mutala, he mentioned an amazing thing. He said that cricket actually is, if you look at the three stumps they have got there, so three stumps refers to the Trinity, Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. He says when they bowling to you, you are actually defending the Trinity, you are defending the cross. And that's why the further you hit the ball away, the more you're getting more runs, you're getting more score. And the minute you can't defend the Trinity, once they knock the wickets down, then you're out. Now you're not fit enough. You can't stand it to protect us. And in cricket also, if you count, you've got like 11 men and you've got a 12 men. They don't have the 13th person because that's a bad luck person. You have the 12 people or whatever. But all of these things have sinister things behind them. And we are the way we love all of these matches and the sports. May Allah take the love of these things out of our heart. Because if the love of Allah Ta'ala comes into a person's heart, then once Maulana from Durban, Maulana Umarji, Rahmatullah Ali, he was playing cricket or he was playing soccer in India. And Mawlana Hussain Ahmad Madani, Rahmatullah Ali, walked past there. And those people who fought against the kuffar and they made sacrifices, they had hatred in their heart for these things. He said, you and the sport of the kuffar, I can't accept it. My student, you're playing the sport of the kuffar. See, from the rest of that life, he made tawbah after that day, he never went back to that sport. So these are things of not ours. They're not ours. And normally, automatically, whoever you love, if you love playing cricket, I guarantee you, whoever loves playing cricket, he'll have to have love for the people above him, who are better than him. Automatically, it becomes like that. If you are a student of deen, automatically you look at the ulama above you, what great sacrifices they did, so you got love for them. If you are a Sufi, you look at the Sufi, what sacrifices they made, you get love for them. If you are a cricket player, you're looking at the highest cricket, the best cricket player in the world, and you say, this person, I must be like him. And your desire is to be like him. You love soccer, you're looking at a soccer player. It's automatic, this happens. So even if a person says, no, I'm just playing for myself, but at the end of the day, it leads towards many other evils. And automatically a person gets loves for fastics, for evil doers, sinners, etc. And if some Muslim people also, they are doing wrong, we cannot justify it. And we cannot say that, no, this person is doing like this, whatever. I heard from certain great buzrugs also, Yunus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah himself mentioned to us, that he said that one person in South Africa who plays cricket, I came and I even encouraged him that you mustn't play, you must come out of cricket now, it's not a place for a Muslim person. Just Mullah Yunus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah, to my brother Mullah Imran himself, he said that it's not like we're saying no, we're saying we're giving permission for it. We encourage him also that you must leave, but we can only do so much. We can tell a person to leave, and after that what the person does is his own work, but we encourage the person. So even our Buzrugani Dinde, they discourage a person from going into these things. And we ourselves as Muslims get so excited, and we encourage other people also, we encourage our children. So this is completely against the shana for Muslim also to be engaged in such a thing, There's no kamal in perfection in there. Anyway, I was mentioning about kamal. So mal, because of money. Kamal, because of some perfection. Jamal, because of some beauty. Nawal, because of some favor which a person is giving to you. And ta'alluk, sometimes your father, just because he's got ta'alluk with you, he's your father. So that's why you got love for him. He's got no money, no beauty, he doesn't favor you, he doesn't do anything, but just because of the ta'alluk and connection with you. So these five qualities are found in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala zat to the greatest level. They are found in one level to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All of them are found in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then in the zat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the greatest level. If a person is looking for mal, for money, and you're running to the people of this dunya, you're the most foolish people. Allah Ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha an-nas antumul fuqara'u ila Allah. Every one of you is a faqir, he's a beggar in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What can a person give you? And a person, normally we look at somebody else, you got money because we want the person to give us some of that money. That person is the most stingy person, he won't give you. And normally the rich people are more poorer than the poor people, because they are always looking for more money. And if a person wants money, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will give you. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If there is benefit for you, Allah will definitely give it to you. Allah will not deprive you. And if there is no benefit for you, Allah will give you far, far greater things than that day. On a G point, Hazrat Amir rahmatullah is mentioned in Bayan al-Quran. He said, Istaghfiru Rabbakum. Make istighfar. Allah, Nuh alayhi salam told his people, make istighfar. Yurisil istama'a alaykum midrara. Allah will send rains upon you. Wa yumditkum bi amwal wa baneen. Allah will give you money. Allah will give you children. Wa yaj'al lakum jannat. Wa yaj'al lakum anhara. Allah will give you gardens. Allah will give you rivers. So many things Allah will give you. So he says that why many people make istighfar, they don't get those things. See, in the world, many people make istighfar, so much of istighfar I'm making, I don't get these things. So he said, either it can be a speciality of that ummah, it was only for them. But they say another answer, he says, that sometimes Allah Ta'ala doesn't give it to a person for his own benefit, because it's harmful for that person. He gives you so much of money, you start disobeying Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. But what Allah Ta'ala will give you, the samara, the fruits of those things. What is the object of having a lot of money? What's the object of having children? What's the object of having gardens? To have comfort in your life, to have rest in your life. So Allah won't give you all of those things, but He'll give you the comfort in your life, He'll give you the happiness in your heart. You make istighfar, Allah Ta'ala will give you the benefits, but they're supposed to have come out from all of those worldly benefits. And besides that, Allah will give you so much in the year after. So if you want money, turn your attention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, see how Allah will give a person. And Allah will make that person happy. Yeah, our buzrugani deen, they had nothing in their lives, but their hearts were contented. And the people of this world, they're so wealthy, so wealthy. A person is earning 50,000 rand a month. He is also, at the end of the month, he's depressed and can't come out with my expenses. Another person goes, he's earning 3,000 rand a month. He's living a comfortable life. From the 3,000, he's giving some money in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also. A lady took bed to one buzruk, and her expenses every month, she came to complain to the buzruk that my husband, for my expenses, extra expenses, he looks after me, gives me clothing, everything like that. My expenses every month is coming to 50,000 rupees. He's only giving me 40,000 rupees. So I'm 10,000 rupees short. So the buzruk encouraged her, he take bath, start making zikr, and adopt taqwa in your life. Bring taqwa in your life. So anyhow, she started, she took bath to the buzruk and she started making zikr. She got taqwa in her life. After a few months, she said that now my expenses have come to 20,000 rupees. The other 20,000 rupees I'm spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is, you ask Allah ta'ala, you got connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that little bit, Allah will give so much of barakat in there. So if you want mal, turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has got all the mal, all the wealth in the world. Any person in this world is very, very poor. Allah ta'ala is the one who's got mal. If you're looking for kamal, if you're looking for perfection, what perfection does any person have in this world? The more you come to know any single person in this world, the more your dislike comes for that person. And the more you come to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more your love for Allah ta'ala will increase. Because Allah is only full of perfection. Every human being has got mistakes. And as we mentioned this many times, even in your own sheikh, in your ustad also, he'll have weaknesses. It's automatic, naturally, he's a human being. If the people could find fault in the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they were human beings. But Allah said, "Kullu wa'ada Allahu al-husna." Allah has promised them goodness. Allah has forgiven them. Maaf, all the sins are maaf. So now we can't pass any judgment against them. So the mashayikh also, our buzruani deen, our elders, our own sheikh, sometimes we might see him doing some things in life. So shaitan puts a doubt in a person and destroys the person by means of that day. So don't look at the weaknesses of the sheikh. Look at his kamalat and his perfection. Speak about the day. So your love and your azmat for your sheikh will increase. Because Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah has mentioned that the greatest way which shaitan destroys the salik is he puts doubts, bad gumani, bad thoughts about the sheikh in the heart and destroys the person. You know me, I make more ibadah than my sheikh. His ibadah is much less. No, your ibadah is through the barakat of him. He's getting all the thawab. So even he's not even reading tahajjud, everybody's reading tahajjud, he's getting all the thawab. So he's far higher than us. So how can we have bad thoughts about him? And sometimes even if he does a sin also, a minor sin, a major sin also, and he makes tawbah after the day, never ever have bad thoughts, because immediately he made tawbah before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah Allah will forgive him. And we must not look at what is he doing to us. one Buzurg mentioned very beautifully, look at what rights we have to fulfill to him. Don't ever look at what the other person has to do for me, look what I have to do for him. The child mustn't look, my father is like this, he's got this quality, he's got that quality, he's not so good. No, I've got duties to fulfill to my father. Once he's your father, you've accepted him as your father, you have to fulfill his duties now. You don't look at what duties he's fulfilling of yours. Once you've taken a person as your sheikh, he's my ustad. Now don't look at his weaknesses, faults. No, how do I fulfill his rights? I must try to fulfill his rights. The person must look at that. So anyhow, any person you're going to find weaknesses. And from here also, our Buzruk say, what a beautiful thing. They say a person who dates, goes out, he has a girlfriend, before he gets married. Then also one thing is, Allah won't put barakat in that. We say normally, there's no barakat in that. Because وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ Allah is the one who places. Ja'ala, he is the one who places love between husband and wife. And if Allah Ta'ala takes it out, then there won't be goodness. You putting your own love, and then love marriages never ever work. But logically also, so beautifully they mentioned, logically also, if a person is going out with a girl, that marriage won't last before he got married. The reason for it, they say, is that when you're going out with a girl before that, she's only seeing your good side. And you're only seeing her good side. You're only giving flowers, you're only giving hadiyas, you're giving presents. It's her dream life. And you'll never see her in a bad mood, she won't see you in a bad mood. You won't see them waking up in the morning with their eyes all funny looking, like a spook, as it says, or looking ugly looking, or smell coming out from the mouth. Nothing at all you'll find. Because then now at that time in the morning, you're not seeing her at that time. You're only seeing her in a best clothing, best dress. So you are expecting married life to be like fairy tale. All life I'll be living like this. Compared to another, now when you go to a marriage, and now you're starting to live her real life. So from up, you go right down. So that marriage is crashing, bringing it right down. But on the other hand, if a person got married the Islamic tariqah, the Islamic way, I'm just trying to show you logically how it works also. When you got married with a woman, now you got a woman first time in your life, you're seeing her. So whatever that package is coming, you're going to accept it. On the one side, you'll have happiness also, person will fulfill his desires. On the other side, you'll see the other part of her life also, that she's like this. And he'll take it for granted she was like this, yeah. Because he never saw any other life. So now that marriage will start building up. It will continue increasing. So Allah has kept so much of barakat in our deen. So anyhow, kamal. If you want to look at kamal, look at the kamal, the perfection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes you must ponder about the perfections of Allah ta'ala. We actually say every day, subhanallah, subhanallah. Oh Allah, you are free of faults. And everything else you look in the world, you'll find weakness and faults in there. So when you look at that weakness, then you must say, subhanallah, oh Allah, you are full of kamal and perfection. And in every quality of Allah ta'ala, the more we get marifat of Allah ta'ala, recognition, we'll see the kamalat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the third thing is, the jamal, the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah ta'ala's beauty is so much, we cannot ever explain it in this world. It's impossible. And why doesn't Allah ta'ala expose himself in this world? Because the world cannot bear the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If one hoor of Jannat, who is a creation of Allah ta'ala, she has to place a scarf in this dunya, the whole world will become blinded. People won't be able to see. If she just spits in the ocean, all the waters of the ocean will become sweet. And if one portion of Jahannam falls in this world, no plants will ever grow on the surface of the earth again. It will be completely destroyed. It shows that this world is too weak. That is why it comes in a hadith sharif, that when we come to the masjid, we are coming to visit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's the house of Allah ta'ala, we are coming to visit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the hadith sharif mentions that whenever a person is coming to the house of Allah ta'ala, whenever you go to someone's house, what he does? Immediately he puts a dasturkhan, please sit down, he prepares some mihman nawazi for you. So it comes in a hadith sharif, whenever you walk to the masjid, Allah makes mihman nawazi for you, he prepares for you a dasturkhan. Kullama ghada aw raha. You come 5 times a day to the masjid, 5 dasturkhans are prepared for you. But Allah ta'ala can't send a dasturkhan in this world because this world cannot bear the strain of it. It will be destroyed. The whole world will get destroyed if one bounty of Jannat comes down in this world. So that is why Allah Ta'ala has kept it for us in the year after. Because if it comes in this world, it will come to an end. But the bounties of Jannah forever and forever. So Allah Ta'ala has kept these things. So if this is the quality of one hoor, of one of the creation of Allah Ta'ala. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, according to some narrations, he actually had to cover his face after that day because women used to fall into fitna when they would see his face. How handsome he was. As Aisha radiallahu anha said that the beauty of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was hidden from this world, or some of her buzruks have mentioned, and his true beauty was not manifest in this world. And she says, if the people of Yusuf alayhi salam saw the actual beauty of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they wouldn't have cut their fingers, they would have cut their hearts. If this is the beauty of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we can imagine his beauty in Jannat, how it will be, where the true beauty will be exposed. And then we can imagine the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this world, it's not possible to see the beauty of Allah ta'ala except in the heart of a person. And when a person stays away from haram, he's not looking at the haram beauties of this world. Allah ta'ala will show a person in exposing his heart the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you want jamal and you love somebody because of jamal, then all the people of this world, if you're looking at them, you are very, very foolish. I read a beautiful example yesterday that Buzruk writes. He says that there's one woman. She's on the street. And she's an orphan. Her parents have passed away. She's not very good looking also. dirty clothes, smelling also, and she is walking on the street, and suddenly the king is going past there. She's about 15, 16 years old. The king is going past of the time, and he's a very, very wealthy person, very handsome person, and he calls her, he says, come here, I want to get married to you. And he takes her off the street, and he takes her in the palace. He gives her a bath, ghusl, he gets married to her. He gives her the best of clothing, the best of diamonds, jewels, money, what she wants. He says, my treasures are open for you, whatever you want, and I'll look after you with honor, with respect. I'll give you whatever you want in your life. And the way he treats her and looks after her. Nowadays, one toilet cleaner in the palace, and he comes now, and he tries to entice the queen. You know what? I love you. I want you. Please come to me. And he's smelling also, ugly looking also. He's got no real features in him, and he's trying, and the king is also watching. The king is standing and watching her. And will she ever turn her eyes towards that person? No. So they say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that king, and we are like that woman who has la warif. We've got nobody to look after us. Allah has given us every single bounty. Allah has given us clothing. Allah has given us wealth. Allah has given us our eyes, our ears. What and what Allah ta'ala has given us. And these few temptations of the world come before us, and Allah is watching us. And now we're turning our attention to them, turning our attention to another beauty of this world, other girls of this world, which got no beauty at all. Where Allah is full of kamal and perfection and beauty. And whichever beauty a person is going to put his heart in, his heart will become like that. If you put your, Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi mentions a beautiful poem. He says, do not make khak, do not destroy your life on khak, on sand. If you're giving your heart to sand, your heart will turn to sand. If there's plugs, we call plug points here, if there's electricity coming through there, and you take a fan and you put it in there, automatically electricity will go through, and the fan will start, it will start moving, it will start working, giving electricity. But if the switch is dead, no matter what plug you put in there, it's also going to, nothing is going to go through, no electricity. If your heart is, you are attaching it to dead things, your heart will become dead. You are attaching it to the wrong thing. And if you are attaching this heart to Allah Ta'ala, who is always living, living forever, Allah will make your heart live forever and forever. So what a foolish person is he who is giving his heart to the jamal and beauties of this world. What are we giving to one woman? You're giving it to one house, to one shop, which are made of all sand. So you're giving your heart to sand, your heart will become sand. Give your heart to that being who is ever living, who is baqi, who will live forever and forever, inshallah Allah will make your heart live forever and forever. This is the third thing. The fourth thing Allah Ta'ala mentioned, which our Buzrugs mentioned, is nawal, the ihsanat and favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What and what favors Allah Ta'ala has not given us. Mawlana Ubaidullah Bhoja was just mentioning, he went now to Syria, and he says that there, something we take for granted in our lives. He says things we take for granted, the children playing with toys. He says they took toys for these children, 4 years they haven't seen a toy. He says because so much of toys in our house our children play with. But for a child not to see that, he says just that one toy they put, how these children smile and how they laughed and how happy they became, that the whole effect of their bodies changed. Just by giving them one small toy, one balloon they gave them, something like that there. But he said, what the effect it had on them. He said, these people haven't seen a fatherly figure. The one child was cocooned, and she hasn't been speaking. She doesn't want to eat anything also. She saw her parents being killed in front of her. She got a grandmother. Her grandmother is speaking to her, talking to her. He said, but the father, they went there. So the one was an old person. So he said, let me speak to this child. Because now he's like the father. The child hasn't seen a father. For 1 year, she hasn't got a fatherly figure. So he says that he went there, he started playing with her, he started shouting a little bit like how a father will do. Within 15 minutes, she opened up. She started playing, she started running, she started jumping. He says that's that hug you give that child. For your own children also. We take these things for granted. When the last time the others went, Monadabella and them went, they say these children just want one person to hug them. What a bounty of Allah Ta'ala it is for a person to show that love. And we in our houses, we grew up with that, our parents showed us love. We can show our children that love. And then he mentioned, unfortunately, that many parents, they got the opportunity at home, but they don't see their children at all for the whole year. They'll give their children money, we'll give them all, but love a person doesn't give them, which is very, very important. Allah give us all tawfiq, that a person spends quality time with his children also, and he shows them love also, at least one meal a day, at least minimum one meal a day, sit with your children, eat with them, talk to them a little bit. It has a very, very great effect. He said they went to one place, the toilet, 300 people are using the same toilet. He said, now you must decide whether you want to flush the chain or not. If you flush the chain, that water which you're getting for drinking is going to go that day in the chain. You have to choose now. You want the water? The water is coming from big, far distances, very expensive. You either drink the water, you either use it for cooking, or you either use it for the toilet. So we go to the toilet how many times, and we flush the chain, so many times we waste the water also. We waste. But he says, those people, just to flush the chain, what a ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. Now, the next time you go to the toilet, think. If you go to a toilet which is dirty, You know how upset you feel, so you don't feel like going to the toilet. You see, 300 people are using the same toilet. Then in some places they went, there's no toilet at all. And these are wealthy people they've come from. But now they're living there, they just go in the bush. And they stink and they smell the sicknesses which are spreading there. You see, things we take for granted, brushing our teeth every morning. The children haven't got such a big dental problem there. See, everything, they've got such a big problem. You see, they took stationery for them, books, pencils, some kitabs in it. The elders, they were so happy. They say, you know, we got our children in the outskirts of Syria. In the Syria itself, there's a lot of problems at the moment. But this is on the outskirts of Syria. You see that even a pencil, a person got a pencil, just to write. These children are 4 years, they're trying to normalize their lives, but they've got no pencils, they've got no books. He says, look at a child for 4 years whose mind is stagnant. He's mentally not working his mind. You'll see the effect on the children. He says, we take it for granted. Our children go to madrasa, they go to school, they're learning all the time. We take it for granted. He says, there when you go and you'll see, and you'll see the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala coming upon you. I was just thinking that what ni'mat of Allah ta'ala, and how ungrateful we are to Allah ta'ala's ni'mat and bounties. Going to the toilet, who we take it for granted, just to flush the chain. But what a thing, just to sit in a toilet, just to have a toilet. Like how Allah says, you just got a plate. What a ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. Just to go to the toilet, this is also a great bounty of Allah Ta'ala. So if we just start pondering over the bounties of Allah Ta'ala, who is Nawal? Whose favors upon us? At every moment, billions and billions of Allah Ta'ala's bounties. And the last point, they mentioned ta'alluq, your connection. That our connection, Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, An-Nabiyyu awla bil-mu'minina min anfusihim. The Nabi has a greater right to the believers in their own lives also. That is why once Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, asked him, and he said that I got more love for you than everybody besides my own self. Nabi Sallam said, your iman is not perfect. And he thought about it. Some say that through the tawajjuh of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his iman reached that level. Then Nabi Sallam said, now Umar, your iman is perfect now. You've got more love for me than yourself. If this is the right of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then our ta'aluk with Allah Ta'ala, who created us, who has given us everything. See, we are nothing at all without Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. We are just like a shadow in this world. And we are the creation of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Our connection with Allah Ta'ala, who is our creator. Our parents, definitely, they've got a great connection with us. Because they were the outward means of coming in this world. But the actual means of coming in this world was none besides Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Our parents spent some time together and then the child was formed in the womb. But 9 months, who made the child in the womb? It was Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Who created that sperm? Who created the womb of the mother? All of these things. So the ta'alluq of Allah Ta'ala is greatest upon us. So may Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala grant myself and all of us. Hazrat Rakim Sahib Rahmatullah says, three simple things a person must do to get the love of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, which he mentioned in Islah al-Akhlaq. The one is to make the dhikr of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala daily. And we should be punctual about our dhikr also. And ashiqana dhikr. Make the dhikr of Allah Ta'ala with the love of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And the second thing he mentioned is, that muraqaba ni'mata ilahiya. To ponder over the bounties of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Every day a person must take out time and think of the bounties of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Automatically the love for Allah Ta'ala will be created in a person's heart. And the third thing he says, which is the ruh and the soul of these two things, is the sohbat of the friends of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. A person must always try to stay in the company of the friends of Allah Ta'ala, read their kitabs. And the main thing is also sohbat, to come for the programs. This morning also Shri Mullah Muhammad Desai, that Hazrat Dami Rahmatullah has mentioned, and Hazrat also mentioned it before. He said, before my view was different. Even if people were far away and they were sending letters to me, I thought it's sufficient. But now after the tajruba and experience, I found out that the nafa a person will get, the benefit a person will get when he comes to a sheikh, is far, far different compared to a person when he stays far away. He listens over the internet, he'll read books, whatever. But the benefit of sitting in the company of the buzrugs, the awliya Allah, is far, far greater when a person is there in their sohbat, in the company. And he says that a magnet, it attracts other magnets. When you put the magnet close by, why does it do so? There's no actual reason for it. Allah has created that effect in it. Similarly, the awliya Allah, when you sit in their company, automatically you are attracted. Your heart starts changing. Why does... We don't know about it, but this is the athar and effect Allah Ta'ala has created in there. So these three things which they have mentioned, and one is the dua which Hazrat Rakib Sahib Rahmatullah mentions here. The dua, Allahumma inni as'aluka hubbak, wa hubba man yuhibbuk, wal amal alladhi yuballighuna. Hubbak, oh Allah, ask you for your love. The love of those who love you, and the love of those a'mal and actions which will lead me to your love. Allahumma ij'al hubbaka ahabba ilayna min anfusina wa ahlina wa min al-ma'i al-barid. Oh Allah, make your love more beloved to us than our own lives and our family members, and then cold water. May Allah Ta'ala, through the barakat of these majalis and gatherings, through the wasila of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and thereafter our Shaykh, and through his kindness, may Allah Ta'ala make us his beloved so. And whoever goes on the path, he just makes a small intention. Allah Ta'ala's mercy is so great. Allah Ta'ala inshallah will accept that person for his love. Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم فاذكروني أذكركم.
دل میرا ہو جائے ایک میدان ہو تو ہی تو ہو تو ہی تو ہو تو ہی تو اور میرے تن میں بجائے آب و گل درد دل ہو درد دل ہو درد دل ویر سے بالکل ہی اٹھ جائے نظر تو ہی تو آئے نظر دیکھو چی در لا الہ الا محمد رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم لا الہ الا اللہ 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 محمد رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم لا الہ الا اللہ 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 محمد رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نعرہ مستانہ خوش میں آئے دم تا بچ جانا چنی می بائے دم اللہ جل جلالہ تعالی شانہ اللہ 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 Allah 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 اللہ 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 جل جلالہ تعالی شانہ
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم اللہم صل علی سیدنا محمد وعلى آل سیدنا محمد وبارک وسلم اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين ربنا لا تجعلنا فتنة للقوم الظالمين ونجنا برحمتك من القوم الكافرين ربنا اغفر لنا ولوالدينا ولأساتذتنا ولمشائخنا ولشيخنا ولمن له حق علينا ولمن أحسن علينا ولمن أوصانا بالدعاء ولقرابتنا ولرفقائنا ولأحبائنا ولجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم إنا نسألك حبك وحب من يحبك وحب عمل يقربنا إلى حبك وحب عمل الذي يبلغنا حبك وحب من ينفعنا حبه عندك وحب نبيك ورسولك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم ارزقنا التوفيق لمحابك ولمحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لطاعته اللهم كن لنا واجعلنا لك اللهم إنا نسألك منك أنت يا الله اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من أن تسد عنا وجهك الكريم يوم القيامة اللهم ارزقنا شهادة في سبيلك واجعل موتنا في بلد حبيبك صلى الله عليه وسلم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله على النبي الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه أجمعين آمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين